We're busy with Relationship Month, and for the last 2 weeks, last 2 years, we're actually stuck with this theme, redeeming your story. I think if you go back a year on the website, you can actually get last year's sermons as well. And here we are. Tonight, I want to talk about attraction and romance. Ooh. It is a time of attraction and romance in our church, I can tell you that, but I'm not going to go into it. Some churches, apparently springtime stuff happens. In our church, it's when it's cold. Any case, just quickly on last week, we had this question on the screen. It comes from the movie Juno, and the lady got her heart broken. She asked her dad, she says, "Dad, I just need to know, is it possible for two people to stay happy together forever?" It's a question we used just to work from. And our answer was yes, it's possible. It's what scripture teach. And the main thing from last week was that love is not a feeling, it's a verb. It's something you are, it's something you do. If you want to make yourself a little relationship folder, download last week's sermon with this and next week and put it somewhere in your computer. And and then you can listen to it. We ask this question as well, why is there so many broken relationships in this world? It's where we were almost last week spending some time on, and we're going to be answering some of these questions again, just from a different angle. But tonight we're talking about attraction and romance. Now, for some of you, I love the way our journeys differ. I really love it. It's amazing. If you go to a small group, you sometimes get a bunch of people that they've got nothing in common. You won't see these people just spend time together if Jesus did not bring them together. And in our stories in church, you hear the craziest stuff. Church people, I tell you. Because it's all bad stories gone good. And God gets his hand on. So I'm not sure where you are in your story. I don't know if you had a good start with your marriage. I don't know whether you had a terrible start. And you're catching up. Maybe you're doing great now. Maybe you had a bad start. But here's the thing. Tonight, if you open your heart, the Holy Spirit will meet you where you're at. And I just want to talk to my friends that's been around for a while. This thing really broke me as I worked through this. We never mature beyond a place of being open to be corrected when it comes to this. I'm very, very convicted standing here, I must say, and I'm honest. I'm teaching these things. I told my wife, it's before God, you know, a lot of these things I learn, I realize I don't do well. And so this is not a sermon to help people that's in a bad place. This is a sermon for everyone. Amen? That's why we're here. Who knows what people look like when they're in love? Who knows that look? You know, there's a certain type of look, okay? It's an Elise so. It's neat, okay. What's FER? I didn't want to pick on her, just so that you know, because I normally do. But you see someone, and I've seen this before. I've seen some of my friends. I've seen relationships gone bad. I've observed it and I've been close to it as well. And it's interesting how it works because you'll see a girl and it will look like she's walking on clouds. She's not a superstasy, super anastasy. She's here and she doesn't walk into chairs, but she's not seeing anything because she's in love. And then you see this thing develop, you see there's a relationship, and then maybe it's like in Stellenbosch, I mean, it's not. You don't see everyone every week. And a year later, you see her crying, broken, because this thing didn't work out. I mean, how do we go from there to qua? I've heard a story, terrible story, but it's a true story. You know, scripture says there's no marriage in heaven. Did you know that? Why? Because every need you have here, it is Christ explodes into you, and you have no need for marriage. I'm not going to preach on that, but that's the truth. So pastor tells a story about a woman breaking down that she's not going to be married with her husband in heaven. She is in a flat spin. 8 years later, she's divorcing the same man in a fiery court case fighting for custody of the children. How do we go from this place to that place? It's what we do as humans. If it's one thing we can know about our condition, then it's this: we don't see clearly. Even if the rain is gone. Oh. On a good day, we still don't have vision. And it's okay to be a bit demakar when you're in love. But if you can be aware of that, you will be at a good place. And I think tonight is going to help us with that. How do we go from Volker to in the grave? Maybe the way we see love, maybe the way we see attraction needs to be washed by Scripture. Maybe we need to be very honest and look at it today. Great. So today, we are going to the Song of Solomon. Let me tell you what's the first time I'm preaching out of this book. I got the first chapter down, I must say. But let me tell you something about this book. Here is a love relationship between two people. And there's many layers to it, and we can apply it to Christ as well. First phase, taking what the Scripture says. You've got a man, you've got a woman, and it's their love story. And it's starting somewhere. It's amazing how this book works. It starts with attraction. That's where we are tonight. It develops to a place where he calls her his bride. It even addresses their first conflict, where they differ, and how this love stays alive. It's a progression. Okay? We're going to get into the Scripture tonight. And I actually got a bit emotional when I was studying through this. I'm not going to lie. And maybe some of you will as well. But I'm not shy, so let's go for it. Can I just pray for a moment, please? Father, I just ask that you will just guide my words. And every heart, Lord, we just commit and submit to you right now. Work with us, change us, and open our eyes, Lord. Amen. So, right, this is the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Now, we are starting here with a lady. She's coming out and she's saying a few things about this man. Now, this is the first development in this relationship. Maybe I think they've known one another, or she at least observed him for a long while. I'll tell you why in a bit. But you know when some people, and they start to notice someone, this is where we're at. So you're like, nee, kijk nie, krap met my neck. You know, that kind of thing, okay? You get guys fetching brooms in the kitchen. He fetched four brooms already because someone is chopping up cake there at the back. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, kom soek net 'n besem, het al klaar drie gevat. It's the way we work. You get guys like Hanu, my friend. He just goes like this. So that's how we knew he was attracted to Estelle. He couldn't help it. So it differs for all of us, but this is the stage. It's the place where we find ourselves. And this is what this lady says. She starts off like she's in Season 5 to Gary. So I say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oiled, poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. They haven't met yet. Maybe they've met. They're not in a romantic relationship yet. We'll see now how it develops. But she comes out and she says, let him kiss me. She wants his lips right here. She likes this guy, really. Why? She's attracted. Can you agree? She's attracted to this man. Why is she attracted? We're going to hit home quite quickly tonight. She says, your name is oiled, poured out. Here's the thing. If I'm going to be talking about your name, what am I talking about? I'm dictating your character. I'm telling you who you are. Last week I had coffee with one of my friends in town. He's a pastor. We often have coffee. We love one another. And he says, I'm a bit jealous of you in a funny way. He says, because I realize you have a great name in this town. Not me, us, this church. He says, you've got a great name. You must protect it. What is he saying? People are looking at us, and the thought that comes to them is a thought of a good character, got a good name. That's why someone will say, I'm so mad at myself, I threw my name away when I was not honest in this or that. Okay. So this woman comes and she says, when I think about your name, your character, who you are, how you treat the people you're around, the way you speak to them, when I think about all those things, when I think about your name, bring those lips. Because I want them here. That's basically what she's saying. And this book is going, and it's working its way, and I'm not going to get into all that. Some pretty explicit sexual explanations. These two are very vocal. And this is where it starts. When I think about your character. And that shows me that she's been observing him for a while. You can know how he looks by one click on Facebook, but you know nothing about his name. How shallow have we become? Your name. Number one, I'm going to only give you 3 points. There's going to be some sub-points. I'm not going to number it. Catch it in your heart. Write it down. Men, I'm talking to you. Your name or your godly character will be attractive to a godly woman at the right time. It might not take so long, it might take very long. But it's going to happen. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about just one moment. Your name is something you build. You can dress up flashy, put gel in your hair, set your car to speakers hard. I'm telling you, you can make an impression, but you can't build a name with an appearance. You build it with consistent faithfulness. So think about building a house. If you have to do it on your own, it might take you, I don't know how many years, unless you build a house the size of this stand. If you build a house, it's going to take you years. What's the purpose of that house? For people to inhabit it. There's bricks, there's roof, there's electricity, there's no one because it's not done yet. In the same way, your name might take years to develop for you to build a strong character, and one day people move into that house, and the full function of the first brick in the deepest foundation comes to light only that day someone moves in. Think about your name as a building of a house, not a flashlight. Build a name. At the right time, someone will say, when I think about him, I see something. A character. His name is beautiful to me. Are you with me tonight? This is where this starts. Now, if we can just go back for one moment, one slide back to verse number 3. I want you to check there. She says, your anointing oil is a fragrant, your name is poured out. Therefore, who loves you? The virgins. Now, that is a time of sexual lawlessness. It's crazy. And we're going to get to that as well because she mentioned it. But there was a lot of lawlessness that time. And she says, maybe she's making the assertion, maybe God is helping us here. She's probably thinking it, she's speaking it, I don't know what. But she's saying, the virgins love you. Those who have kept themselves pure. When they look at you, they see what I see. Because they can recognize this thing. The others, they can't. And so when the pure ones look, they want you, but you're mine. You're mine. I'm so glad he showed me that I could see and looked into your heart. Because I didn't see it maybe at first. Now, here's the thing. No condemnation. If you come to Christ, He will restore you. I don't care how much you've messed up in your past. He will make you like a virgin again. Spiritually speaking. He will make you pure. But let me tell you what. It takes a godly woman to see a godly man. I'm going to talk straight here. You sort it out for yourself in your own mind. Right? Everyone has got a problem with their own looks. We're going to talk about that as well. But here's the thing. If you are a typically, you're a poster boy. You've got problems. Because you're going to attract the godly woman. If you love God, You're going to attract the godly woman, and you're going to attract some which you have to close the door to. Now, listen, God has placed before me an open door. Let me tell you what, men with character have to close doors. Okay. If you sometimes have a problem, you say, Lord, I'm not sure, when am I going to have a wife? You know, I don't have the physique of Pity of Yanni. Let me tell you what, you're in a good place. Build your name. She's going to come and you're going to know. Amen. I'm talking very honestly with you guys tonight. We've become very shallow in the times we live in. And so this lady, if they had Facebook back then, all right, shows a photo of this man and she shows it to her friends, and her friend's like, not my type, you know. Basically, her friend is saying, this guy's not hot. And this girl thinks, you foolish woman. If you only see what I see, it's mine. Build your name. Build your name. It's what Scripture says. God is protecting you as well sometimes with the people that comes with interest. I've seen many people walk away from Christ. The open door was not from God. Let's go on. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers, and then others, the crowd, crowd comes from the side, they also sing, they're like, we will exalt and rejoice in you, we extol your love more than wine, rightly do they love you. All right, we're going to come back to that verse, let's go on for now. This girl speaks to him, and she makes herself very vulnerable. We're going to see in this text that this was not a poster girl. This was not a good-looking woman, at least not in her own opinion. She speaks to him and she says, I am very dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, dark, supposed to keep light out. Do not gaze at me because I am dark. Now, she's not saying she's a black woman. Okay? This is what happened to her. Pay attention. She says, because the sun has looked upon me, my mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard, I have not kept. What she's saying here is, I was forced by my family to work in the sun for weeks and hours, and the sun has inflicted damage on my skin. And so she asks this man, she says, There's something in her. You can see the love of God and God's confidence. Because she says, I'm dark, but I'm lovely. But please don't look at my skin. Because it's damaged. Can you see that? Because she's sunburned. So what we're seeing here is we're seeing a woman with a story. A woman with hardship, and there's lines on her face. And maybe there's lines on her, Ilta, callus on her hands. She's like, listen, if I look at my body and I look at all the royal princesses, then they're so delicate. And when I look at myself, I'm like, look at my hands and please look deeper, is what she's asking him. And she's becoming very vulnerable. They're not married yet. They're not in a relationship. She's coming out of this insecurity. And if we don't say it, we think this. Am I right? The slimmest girl wants to lose weight. I don't know how that works. It's the truth. We look in the mirror. Someone says, you're beautiful. There's something about you you're unsure about. This woman comes up. She says, my skin. It's burnt. Back then, the skin was very, very important. It showed royalty. It showed you to care of yourself. But from an early age, this woman was taught to take responsibility. She provided for a family. She's got a story. And Songs of Solomon says she's young. She's talking here about a woman, a young woman, not sure of her age, maybe in her 20s. I don't know what young back then was, maybe 10 to 20 already sunburned, maybe in her 30s, I'm not sure. But here's a story. I've looked after my family. And it cost me. And the scripture goes on. And she speaks with him in verse 7. He hasn't responded yet. It's only her up to now. She's confessed. She found him attractive. She expressed vulnerability. And now she comes and she actually asks him on a coffee date. Okay? She says, tell me, you whom my soul loves, where do you pasture your flock? She's not trying to be weird with them. She's asking, where do you take care of the cattle? Right? Where do you make it lie down at noon? For why should I be like the ones who veils itself beside the flocks of your companions? So what she's saying is, I want to rendezvous with you. I want to get together with you at noon. Where's the cattle at that time? Because I want to meet with you. And look at what she's saying. There's women with veils that's working there, works of prostitution, making a living among the shepherds. And she wants to make sure that she sets herself apart from that. She says, I'm not one of them. So just tell me where you are at noon. I'll come directly. And I want to meet you where you work. So she sets herself apart. I'm not, when you see me in the fields, it's not because I was there. Can you see what she's doing? She's also building her name. I wasn't there hanging around and, you know, looking for the other guys as well, wanting to make a living, and then you came by accident. Know that when you see me, I walk to you straight to be with you. That's my intention. Very vulnerable at this moment. And she's also saying, she's also helping this man, I don't want you to be unnecessarily jealous. I'm not in the market. Where your cattle lies, I'm coming straight. He hasn't responded. That's what she said. Now he answers for the first time and he says, if you do not know, O most beautiful woman, follow in the tracks of the flock and pasture your young goats beside the shepherd's tents. I'll meet with you for coffee. Of goat's milk. I don't know what that. So he starts by saying, I will meet you there. Please come. I will welcome you at my workplace. And then he says, I compare you, my love, to a mare amongst Pharaoh's chariots. I didn't study into that verse too much, but it supposedly means that the type of horse was very valuable among the steeds of Pharaoh. I want to focus on the next verse. Check this out. She opened her heart and she was very vulnerable about what? Skin. Check this man. Your cheeks are lovely. I always thought this book was just a bunch of random stuff thrown together. And we're always in res, you know, there's a verse that says something about your breast. We always used to, I have a word for you for one of my friends. And I would give him, and then everyone would laugh. This was for me just a way to laugh. But this guy knows exactly what he's saying. And I'm like, your cheeks, is he joking with me? No, he's saying, listen, the sun spent days on your face. And he's going to get to her heart. He's going to speak about how what he sees in her. But he starts by saying, I love your cheeks. I love your face. And even your neck, where your jewels are. And so now this girl knows, wow, I was very vulnerable right now. This thing, I'm going to be okay here. And so there's a godly thing happening here. Because this guy's looking, seeing her vulnerability, knowing of her past, sees into her heart and suddenly her physical appearance, listen up, becomes beautiful to him. That's godly love. That's why you will be madly in love with your spouse when you're 60. That's why. This is very important because listen up. You have to divorce every 5 years if you want to marry the hottest girl in town and stay married to her. Every 5 years, you have to. You must unroll your car. And we laugh. It's exactly what this world does. And this girl knows about it. So she comes. She says, listen, even before we start this thing, look at my skin. You're going to have to come past this. But let me tell you what, when you marry your wife, if it's about the skin, if it's about the neck, and other way around, listen, let me tell you what, it's not only guys. Girls also want the package, I'll tell you that. I've seen some amazing men, even back in Cape Town, reaching out to amazing women. I'll tell you what, it's not just men. It's women as well. Can we agree on that? Okay, we're all the same. Here's the thing. Sumari married Carl about 2 weeks ago. No, 2 weeks. Now, I'm not speaking, Sumari. If Carl married you for the wrong reasons, I know he did not, because I know him. You probably, maybe there's some other days people can vote about it, but you probably looked your utmost best on your wedding. Maybe. Okay? From there, physically, you don't get younger. Probably you're never going to have someone make up for 3 hours again. You've had your best day on your marriage. From there, it's downhill. If you marry for what this world marries for, if not, your name, it becomes more beautiful. She becomes more beautiful. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? Look what he says to her a bit later. He says, behold, you are beautiful, my love. You are beautiful. Your eyes. So he looks into her eyes. And when he looks into her eyes, he sees her past. He sees. He looks here. He says, sure, amazing. Later on, I just threw it up there for you guys in chapter 4. Now, this thing is developing. He's physically attracted to this woman. He says, you are altogether beautiful, inside and out. The love is growing as time goes on. And Sumari is going to become more beautiful to Carl as the years go on, as the love of Christ moves in their marriage. She's going to be the fairest of them all. Amen, Carl? Number 2, for the ladies. Your beautiful heart, or your beautiful servant heart, will make you attractive to a godly man. To a godly man. If you just, it's difficult to say these things, but I'm just going to be honest. If you're a beautiful woman, people tell you that, you know about it, nothing wrong with it. Take good care of yourself. But know this, the godly men are going to come and the others. Knows which door to close. So that you open your heart to the one who looks here. Sees where you've been in your life. And 20 years later, he says, you're all together beautiful. Amen. There's a story in the Old Testament. I'm not going to assume everyone knows it. Abraham sends an unnamed servant to go fetch his wife, his son, a wife. It's as easy as that. Bring her. And so the word comes to this man, the one who is willing to give water to the camels, that's the one. Now, I always thought, nice sign, here's a lady, she gives water. Let me tell you what, 20 camels, guess how many liters? Guess, 1,500. 1,500 liters, and it says, and they drank until they had enough. That girl, after that, God was working. I don't know why the men didn't help. Here's the thing. I don't know what her hands look like afterwards. 1,500 liters. She must have been wet, dirty, taking her to the camels, coming back. Those camels will drink for an hour. It's not a random sign. I'm talking about a beautiful servant heart. And when you see that, you say, whew, beautiful. You can stand 500 meters away and say, I'll marry that girl. Because you see her beauty. Are you with me? That's what scripture tells us here. We're talking about attraction. We're talking about attraction where the question is answered. Dad, is it possible for people after being in love to stay in love forever? Don't be stupid. Be smart. Be very smart before you give yourself into marriage. People in this town have realized very quickly, I don't just marry people. People come to me, will you marry me? No. No. I take this very seriously, and you should too. Amen? We can talk about your marriage in a year's time. Come here, come serve in church, let me see you guys grow. And then if you still want to marry after a year, then we can talk about it. If I saw you every 2 months in church, a year later, will you marry me? No. Won't do it. I'm not going to stand before God and say, oh, your blessing is here. I don't know. Very important. Check this out. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. Now the others, the choir from the side, they sing. We will exalt and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. What's happening here? Your godly friends is coming in and they're saying, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Not your Facebook friends. They like everything, all right? You've got a post that you had a girlfriend last week. You've with another girl here. I don't know what, wet shirt party. Everyone likes it. No one has consideration for your spiritual health. They don't care. Like. They don't like you. I'll tell you what. Then I've seen people in church growing and their friend says, no, he's going to hurt you. No. Nee, ek het 'n woord gekry. Go ahead. Never see them again. My heart breaks every time. I love everyone here. Every person. Even if you're visiting. I've seen relationships steal more people out of the hands of Christ than anything else. And it makes sense because relationship is key to our faith. Okay? Listen, this is the craziest story I've heard in my life. A man goes and asks his girlfriend's parents for her hand in marriage. Good manners. It's a good start to the story. You know what the mom says? She tells him, you may marry her, but you are foolish to marry my daughter. She's a selfish woman. Coming from the mom. We've gone to a place where we marry based on an attraction, physical attraction that goes backwards from day one. What is the community saying? What is the community saying? When it's from God, point number three, the godly rejoice. Now, don't be mad at your friends when they're saying, whoa, they love you. They care about you. Not your Facebook friends, right? The people around here, that's been a small group of you, that's prayed with you many times. Listen to them. They love you. They've got nothing. The best people to help you with any big decisions is those that's not emotionally involved in the specific decision. All right? And when the godly rejoice, yeah. You know, I've also seen the other way around. I've seen, I mentioned it earlier, where two people are starting to spend time together and the whole community know this is it. And one walks away because of a physical thing. And I think, stupid man. Stupid man. I don't know how God fixed that. He knows. But what is the community saying in your life? Ask them. If you're afraid to ask, you're in trouble. All right? There's a reason you don't want to ask them. Okay? But they're there to love you and help you. Now, I want you to go and read the Songs of Solomon if you want to and see how this love relationship, this is where it starts. Your name. Ladies, your heart. If he cannot see your heart, ask God for guidance. because when he sees your heart, whatever you're ashamed of, he'll say, I love your cheeks. I don't care what they look like. When I gaze upon them, it's beautiful. You are altogether beautiful to me because God has changed the heart. He's a heart changer. Love is dynamic. A poster on the front page of some other magazine, it's a static thing. You can say, that's a pretty person or not. Let me tell you what, love is not that. Love is deeply spiritual. God works it in the hearts of his children, and he will make you crazy in love of women if you look deep. Look at where she's been in the vineyards, where she's labored away, when no one saw it, and the sun was scorching. Look beyond, look in, and he's going to open your eyes, and the other way around as well. Amen. Let's stand up tonight.